So Cody Rhodes, your story with Roman Reigns is over and you did it. But our story has just begun.
You're not supposed to be here.
I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be packing or unpacking.
Last week we were like, the mat's going to go away for a while, but before he rides off into the sunset and
I'm back already.
He's back.
Well, it was such a momentous occasion this weekend that I couldn't possibly be done. I had to stick around for WrestleMania.
Well, that's the thing. So we talked about last week how we were going to occasionally change things up a bit, throw some different subjects in here. Well, we couldn't have found a better time to do that because this was Matt's first WrestleMania. So we're going to be talking about the world of professional wrestling here, namely WWE, and we're going to be talking about WrestleMania 40. I don't know why they love The Weeknd so much.
I like The Weeknd.
3 years in a row, The Weeknd has been the theme song for WrestleMania.
I will say, I like The Weeknd a lot, but when I think The Weeknd, I don't think WrestleMania or wrestling. I think something very different.
Do you think The Weeknd is just because, oh, it's a weekend and he's The Weeknd? Like, is it that deep?
You can't see me right now, but I'm rolling my eyes so far into the back of my head. I don't think so. I really don't know why. Because, again, when I think of The Weeknd, I think of, like, you know,
sex.
Sexy, yeah. I think of music to make a baby to, not music to choke slam somebody to. But
indeed. Well,
whatever.
Depends on what you're into.
Well, I guess that's, you got to pay extra for that sometimes, but it's usually worth it.
Okay, so the background here, pro wrestling, Matt really knows very little.
Very little. Not only was this my first WrestleMania, this is the first wrestling event I have ever watched.
I, however, have been involved in this. Let's see. My first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 6.
Okay.
Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, title for title. The Ultimate Challenge, brother. where Ultimate Warrior pinned Hulk Hogan in the middle of the ring. He was supposed to be the next guy. Kind of lost touch with the business for a few years. Got back into it, I would say, around WrestleMania 12.
Okay.
And then I became a huge fan. Attitude Era I grew up in. Never missed a Raw. Never missed a SmackDown. Flipped to Nitro. Flipped to Thunder. Would watch WCW Saturday Night. WWF Shotgun Saturday Night.
My,
I mean,
God,
you fucking name it. I watched them all.
This is your James Bond. For, like, my thing is James Bond. That is the thing that I am most interested in. That is the thing I'm most passionate about, at least when it comes to entertainment. I think this is it for you.
Well, I thought about this too. I've never really, like, this has never really gotten out of my system. A lot of people move on, whatever reasons, they grow up. Wrestling, as we all know, predetermined. I've taken bumps. I trained to be a pro wrestler for a time outside of high school, and I can tell you those bumps are real. But I don't know, something about it, the pageantry, the entrances, the gimmicks, like, something about it just compelled me. And I don't know what that is.
Well, and still does. You're still really into it.
Well, I was thinking about this. A normal person preparing for a podcast like this would probably have to have copious notes.
Mm-hmm. You need none.
As far as, like, what happened in each match, I don't need any.
Wow.
I can remember almost move for move everything that happened this entire weekend.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because I sure as hell can't. But
right. So that kind of speaks for itself there, you know?
I'm genuinely impressed at that. Because there's a lot of stuff, and a lot of these matches were long.
I think, too, like, Matt and I are big UFC fans,
mm-hmm.
and UFC kind of started to get stale.
UFC is in a slump right now.
Right.
That 300 is this weekend, and nobody really seems excited about it. UFC 200 was one of the first events I ever watched. That was about when I was getting into it. And I remember it being like the biggest thing ever, you know, if you like that sort of thing. And 300 is just does not have that same energy to it. I don't remember the last time I watched a full UFC card. It's probably been 6 or 8 months.
Yeah.
I just think they're in a little bit of a slump right now. So I went to WWE apparently.
Well, I started to kind of dip Matt's toes in a little bit. I think probably what caught your eye more than anything, though, was probably The Rock coming back. Is that fair to say?
Of course, because it's somebody that I'm surprised by how many of these names I at least recognize. Like they're kind of out there. Like Randy Orton was there this weekend. And I was like, okay, I know who that is. Obviously, I know
John Cena,
of course. Undertaker showed up. Like, I do know a lot of these names, and especially from the Attitude Era and probably like the John Cena era.
Sure.
Because that was the age where my friends were watching it. I just wasn't watching it. But I heard of, you know, I knew these names. Yeah. I saw the action figures and all that stuff. Yeah. And so, for the longest time, I could not wrap my head around professional wrestling.
Right.
For the same reason a lot of people can't.
It's fake.
It's fake. And I was like, well, I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal. Why would you watch this? I like the word you use, predetermined. We're not going to say fake, but it's predetermined.
Right.
Why would you watch that when you can watch a UFC fight or you can watch a boxing match? I don't understand. It's not real fighting. And over time, I've kind of, maybe the last like 3, 4, 5, 6 months since you've been sending me stuff, I've kind of wrapped my head more around the idea of like, yes, it's predetermined. But there is still the pageantry of it, the storylines, the athleticism, the matches. And to tie it into movies for 1 second, we saw Iron Claw around Christmas.
Yeah.
And there's a line that stuck with me from that movie where Zac Efron's character is talking about this exact topic. I'm like, well, it's all fake, right? And he said, well, it's planned ahead of time, but getting the belt means you get a promotion. It means you're really good at your job, and so you get to be the champion because you're very good at this. And that really helped me wrap my head around, okay, I can understand that.
I think this discussion, the way I kind of want to direct this, since I'm the quarterback of this discussion, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm the water boy.
I don't want to go move for move about everything that happened this weekend, but I want to kind of explain when pro wrestling is great, what makes it great. And I want to explain how we got to WrestleMania 40, because there's a lot of backstory that goes beyond that. And it's something that we always thought we might talk about on the show, but we haven't. So we'll address that pretty quickly here. But now that you've seen this, you can completely see that the UFC has taken a lot of shit from pro wrestling.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And if you don't see that as a bro dude out there, and I've been a martial artist. I've been a wrestler, so you can't talk shit to me. Trust me, they have taken a lot of elements from professional wrestling.
Tons.
Conor McGregor, there's a reason why he's that popular. Because he's a fucking character.
Yeah. I mean, that is the thing that I've always known, is like the people that sell really well in the UFC, yeah, they're good fighters, but they're also characters.
Did you see now that starting this weekend, all the fighters have their own unique
shorts. I saw that, shorts. Yeah, their own shorts. I saw Max Holloway's, Justin Gaethje had an American flag.
I think it's a great idea.
So do I.
You got to give these guys personality.
I said this to Mike the other day. I think the UFC should add in one more thing, which is random cameos. Because I'm telling you right now, a lot more people would be buying 300 if they thought there was a chance that Conor McGregor shows up and like choke slams Dustin Poirier in the aisles and challenges him to a fight in a few months.
100%.
That would make everything so much more exciting. They've taken so much of the pageantry and the characters and
promos.
The over-the-topness, the promos, all of that directly. Even some of the matches they make now. Like, you always call the BMF belt the Intercontinental title.
Now you see what I'm talking about.
Now I can see what you're talking about. Because it's like, it's a belt. It's a real belt, but it's a belt for somebody that doesn't have the real belt.
They're not quite the champion.
They're not the champion, but they're
close.
They're close, and they're...
Which is a Dustin Poirier.
Absolutely.
Or a Gaethje.
Perfect example of that. Like, they're the guys that are not the champ. They're probably never going to be champ, but they've been good to the company and the crowds like them. So sure, we'll give them a belt. And you know, the UFC is probably going to do more of this in the future. There's probably going to be more of those, you know, quote unquote, made up belts.
So to backtrack, Vince McMahon owned the WWE for years, right?
Heard of him.
He was ousted from the board of directors.
Oh my God, what did he do?
Because of these allegations of, I don't think at the time it was like sexual assault, but it was an inappropriate relationship. He had used company funds to pay off several women.
Oh man,
for cover-ups.
Who does that remind me of? Nobody I can think of.
Yeah, probably somebody that's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, you might. It's Abraham Lincoln. It's Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything when he was first ousted. I don't think there was anything like untowards that was or illegal or anything like that right. that was he was accused of. But yeah, it was misusing company funds. But then shit really hit the fan. What, 6-8 months ago?
Yeah. So the board voted him to not come back, mm-hmm. which includes Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, his own fucking daughter, and Nick Khan. Okay.
Who is Nick Khan?
Nick Khan is like the. I don't know what his exact title is now.
Okay.
He's like basically the president of WWE now.
Okay. So he's
like, the number one guy in the company pretty much.
So he's like the Hunter Campbell of the UFC. Yes. Where like Dana's the face.
Very good comparison. But then
Hunter's doing
Triple like, H is like the Dana White okay. and Hunter Campbell is probably like the Nick Khan.
Okay.
That makes I would sense. Say, you know.
Yeah. Like one of them is the face of the company and the other is doing the day-to-day. The main
executive guy, yeah.
The main executive guy who's getting the business done. Yeah, okay, all right.
Dana's more involved in the matchmaking and things like that.
Yeah.
So he forces his way back in through company loopholes, fires everybody that voted against him except for Triple H. Stephanie McMahon suddenly resigns. Triple H gets like everything he's built taken away from him. Like NXT gets shut down, revamped, all this bullshit, right?
And just to clarify, this is not kayfabe storyline.
This is real.
This is real business stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yes.
How did he force his way back in? Just because he was still a major shareholder?
He had the majority of the shares, and he gave himself 2/3 voting power.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so he put a loophole in there where he could get himself back in.
Of course he did.
Right.
Hey, look, nobody ever accused Vince of being dumb.
Then the company gets merged with UFC. They form TKO.
Yep.
Vince is still around.
And if you've never seen the look of Vince the day the company went public, just Google that because oh my God. Looks like
a pedophile.
He looks like a Spanish sex pest.
He sure does.
Yes.
Eventually, these allegations reappear, and now it's sexual assault. It's grooming. The grooming part is a little harder to prove because she's a 41-year-old woman. But you can argue he had power over her because he employed her.
Yeah, it was very much a. Kind of a Harvey Weinstein-esque thing where it was like, well, you weren't technically, or at least we found out Harvey Weinstein was legitimately doing illegal things, but it's like, well, this isn't illegal, but you have power. The power situation here is bad. You know, you kind of control this person's career and you're paying her and you took advantage of that.
But then there is allegations that him and John Laurinaitis took turns raping her in Vince's office.
And that's where the allegations got really gnarly.
Then you find out other things which maybe not illegal in practice is disgusting and embarrassing and literally shitting on the company. He takes a shit on the woman's head while she's giving another dude head. Tells her that you can't go take a shower for like... He makes her suck this guy's cock for like 2 hours. Weird, like, horrible shit, right? Just the fucking worst reprehensible shit you've ever heard of. At that point, like, Slim Jim starts pulling their sponsors. Everybody else is around Royal Rumble time.
This is beneath Slim Jim.
And The Rock just got on the board when this came out.
Of TKO.
So The Rock, being the huge star he is probably like, what the fuck? I have this squeaky clean image.
Yep.
And I'm coming into this. He's got to go. So they pretty much force him to step down. So he's gone now. Gone, never coming back. And the company is like tried as hard as they can to completely separate them from Vince at this point.
And they are making it so obvious.
Right.
I mean, Triple H started the show this weekend on Saturday by coming out and basically giving a short little speech that this is a new era.
Yep. The commentators are saying this is the Paul Levesque era or the Triple H era. Mm-hmm. Stephanie McMahon shows up after being gone forever, night two, and says, I've been around for all these WrestleManias, and this is the most I'm excited for. This is the most I'm proudest. This is the Paul Levesque era. They put a stamp on that this weekend.
It is worth pointing out that the Vince McMahon allegations go back decades.
Yes.
And so, look, who knows, but I think there's a pretty good chance that he was not great to be around behind 100%. The scenes. So I bet there are a lot of people, Stephanie McMahon included, I'm sure Triple H included, who are happy to see him gone.
Absolutely.
And move on.
You could see like the weight just come off of everybody that works at that company once he's gone. Because by all accounts, Triple H is very easy to work for. He listens to the employees, you know, and just everybody loves to work for the guy. So the atmosphere is completely changed with Vince McMahon being gone.
I mean, look, my knowledge is so limited, but it shows. I mean, they put on, I mean, for the first time, Vince not being there, they sure did put on a hell of an event.
Yeah, so this brings us to WrestleMania 40. There it is. We heard this song a lot this weekend.
This song has been in my head for 3 days.
So for those of you that don't know, Cody Rhodes, the son of Dusty Rhodes, which famous pro wrestler.
I Googled
many,
him.
Many accolades in his time, but the one thing he never got was a WWF championship. Cody left WWE, built this whole thing, started AEW, took a chance and left there again and came back to WWE. The first night back after he beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, he said, "It's my goal to win that one title that my dad couldn't win, WWE Championship. He's passed away now, and I can't hand it to him anymore, but I can make him proud."
He passed away recently, too, right? Like 2020, something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was the goal. He wins the Royal Rumble. WrestleMania 39, which I fucking attended both nights with my sons.
I'm going to have to scoot back for this part for safety.
And it's going like, it's great. It's one of the best WrestleManias I've ever seen. But Roman wins because of outside interference again, which Roman Reigns, for those of you that don't know, has had the title for 3.5 years going into WrestleMania 40. Cody's got to build himself back up. He wins the Royal Rumble again. So this is where the wrench comes in. The Rock starts, he comes back into the fold. They want to have this match now with Roman Reigns.
This is about where I start paying attention.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cody, for some reason, comes out and says, "I'm going to step aside and let The Rock have this match." The fans shit all over it. Turn Rock heel, which nobody expected, which means bad guy. They turn on The Rock. I never thought I would see it, but they turned on The Rock. So instead of staying the course and going with this match that nobody wants to see, it's not that nobody wanted to see that match. They wanted to see Cody finish the story.
Yeah.
He'd been talking about it for 2 years. Finish the story. Finish the story.
And okay, so Cody, I didn't know this part. So Cody stepped aside and was going to let Rock. He was on board with this.
For no reason.
For no reason. Right. Okay, Rock, you get to fight Roman, even though you've been gone for a decade, you get to fight Roman Reigns, not me.
Yep.
But then there was an event right after that where Cody comes out and he says, "I won the Royal Rumble. I get to decide who I fight."
So they had this announcement. It's a Vegas, mm-hmm. like a pre-WrestleMania press conference.
Wish I would have known. I would have been there.
Which, right.
I think I was actually in Vegas around that time.
This is where I was texting Matt like, "Holy shit, The Rock is acting heel. He's acting like a bad guy. I don't know what's going on here," right? Cody comes out and says, "This is bullshit. I choose you, Roman Reigns." They start talking about each other's families, and The Rock slaps Cody Rhodes. They're cussing at each other, and I'm like, whoa, this feels different. This does not feel like what we've seen from WWE for years. When I say I'm a fan, I do not watch the weekly shows. I'll read shit. I'll watch some highlights here and there. And I watch the pay-per-views when I can.
Yeah.
I'll usually watch the bigger shows, but and they're always like promising something new, and it's the same old shit. This is the first time it like legitimately felt different. So they pivoted. They turned a corner. And they end up making a tag team match for night one, which is Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes against The Rock and Roman Reigns with stipulations for the main event. If Rock and Roman win, night two is Bloodline Rules, which means anything goes. So that's our setup into WrestleMania 40.
Yeah. Now, you know, we all knew The Rock and Roman Reigns were going to win the tag team match because that was just like the most obvious thing that was going to happen. That like, yeah, of course they're going to win the tag team because you got to extend the drama going into night two. But you also knew they were going to win because I never heard what the alternative thing was to Bloodline Rules. It was always just, if Rock and Roman Reigns win tonight, it's Bloodline Rules. And I'm like, okay, that's what's going to happen.
The alternative is the Bloodline would be banned from ringside.
Oh, so that's what it is. So Roman can't have interference.
Anybody. Yeah,
oh,
it'll be one-on-one, straight
gotcha,
up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which
was never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Clearly never going to happen.
The other thing, the other big thing that happened is at Survivor Series, CM Punk returned to the WWE, which nobody thought was ever going to happen. He had been gone for 10 years, so that became a huge thing as well.
I saw that. I saw the video of him returning, and that crowd pop was so crazy when his music came on.
I think they were heading towards Punk versus Rollins for the World Heavyweight.
Uh-huh.
And then the WWE title match was going to be Cody and Roman.
Okay.
Once Punk got hurt in Royal Rumble, they tried to switch it around. But then, you know, we ended up with what we ended up getting with WrestleMania 40. So, Night one opened up Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley had Motionless in White play her song to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
What were your impressions of these two females?
Oh, what can I say on mic? Good match. Really good match.
Yeah.
Very attractive match.
Yes.
I don't know. That was my first time ever seeing a female WWE fight.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was one of my first times seeing any WWE fight for that matter, but I had never seen a female fight before. Yeah. I thought they were great. Look, let's just be honest here. I appreciate that the WWE doesn't mind playing up that this fight, we're going to make this fight a little sexy. Come on, we're all thinking it.
Wow. Rhea Ripley is an absolute star.
Is fight the appropriate thing to say, or is it match?
Whatever you want.
Okay.
They say fight all the time in this. So.
Okay.
Look, she's got it all. She's got sex appeal.
Yeah.
Physicality. She can go in the ring. She can cut a promo.
Mm-hmm.
She's got presence. You know, just... She's a complete package. And I think they made the right call here for her to go over on Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch is an absolute star. She came out with pages of her book like on her robe, and the book was like...
She was selling a book? I didn't notice.
Yeah.
They didn't bring it up 100 times or have a floating CGI book over the stadium or literally read pages of it before she walked out. I hear it was a New York Times bestseller too.
Well, indeed it was.
I've heard the book is very good.
Rhea won the match with a Riptide. She hit one on the top turnbuckle and then hit her again with it. Won the match. The next match was the 6-man tag team ladder match.
Are you really doing all this from memory? He has no notes. This is incredible.
Both sets of titles were hanging from the sky.
Yeah. Oh, this was a fun one. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, you had Awesome Truth. You had Grayson Waller and... now I can't think of
wasn't
this
Money in
name.
The Bank there?
Money in the Bank.
He wasn't in this?
Yeah, he was. The Judgment Day. They were the ones defending the titles.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Awesome Truth, Judgment Day, DIY, New Catch Republic, which are the two tiny British men.
I was rooting for them.
Yes. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, who won the SmackDown titles.
Okay.
And they took a lot of abuse in this match.
This match was crazy. Yeah. So I didn't know what a ladder match was. I assumed it just meant you hit each other with ladders, which
and the New Day.
Which it is. But I didn't realize that you had to actually crawl up the ladder to get the title and that, or to get the belt, and that's how you win it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that. So when they started to do, there's a lot of look, this one was basically a Three Stooges match. Maybe that's why I liked it so much. Because there's a lot of fake climbing up the ladder only to be knocked over at the last minute.
Yes. This is accurate.
And the camera angle was usually such that you couldn't really see who was at the bottom of the ladder. So it'd be like a guy comically climbing very slowly to the top and then, oh no, he's over. And I also noticed those ladders, not industrial strength ladders. They fall apart pretty easily. I'm not saying they're fake. I am not saying that.
I didn't say that.
I am saying they fell apart pretty easily.
But you can't, I mean, these guys took some hellacious bumps.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean. I think I described getting hit by a ladder as like stepping on a Lego times 1,000. That's what it seems like.
One of the high spots, Grayson Waller got powerbombed over the top rope, crashing through the ladder
outside. So painful.
Johnny Gargano hit Pete Dunne with a tornado DDT through a table onto the outside. The DIY guys took a lot of fucking bumps in this match.
There was a lot of pain in this match.
A few spots of which of I hate the most in pro wrestling is where six guys stand around on the outside, and then like Kofi Kingston did a trust fall into all these guys and they catch him. There was a moonsault onto all the guys. Like, I hate that shit.
I understand. Counterpoint. Glad nobody broke their spine.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
Like, change the camera angle at least.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, cut. Like, maybe do a hard cut before they hit or something like that.
Don't show the guys, like, you know. Yeah. See, we're tying this into movies. Don't show the guys standing around, though, waiting for them. But anyhow, Awesome Truth gets the other set of titles, and they win the match, as expected.
Mm-hmm. That was a cool end. I liked that.
Yeah.
The guy that won, his gimmick is, I'm stupid. I don't know what's going on ever.
That's correct.
It was kind of funny. I don't know. It was cute.
So the next match was a tag team match. Rey Mysterio, Andrade El Ido, or however, I don't know how you say his name. Andrade, we'll just call him.
They call him Andrade.
And he's taking on Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar.
How old is Rey Mysterio?
Almost 50. He's got to be.
Got to be, at least, yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Still can go.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good.
High-paced match. LWO gets involved. You see Zelina Vega doing a moonsault to the outside. You see the other blokes doing a fucking high-risk maneuver to the outside. This match ends with two Philadelphia Eagles in luchador masks throwing him into the ring steps, and it's the Kelsey that's not dating Taylor Swift.
Jason Kelsey.
And some lineman who...
I didn't know who the other guy was. I'm not a big Eagles fan, but it was Jason Kelsey. You kind of knew what was going on because obviously they were in Philadelphia. They were in the Eagles Stadium. And two guys come out in luchador masks, and then somebody pointed out like, oh, they're in Eagles. And then you realize like one has a pot belly and a beard, and you're like, okay, it's Jason Kelsey, obviously. But that's cool. Everybody loves Jason Kelsey. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So that was pretty neat to see.
Then we have the worst match of the night. Brother versus brother.
Oh, this was a bad... Yeah.
Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, which they've been building this for a long time, dude.
Well, it was disappointing then because it was not a very good match.
It started out hot. Like, Jey Uso did a suicide dive onto his brother before the match even started. Then it was just spamming super kicks. They did like 18 super kicks to each other.
There was a lot of kicking.
Yes. Jimmy tries to beg off and... double crosses brother, doesn't get the job done, and Jey ends up hitting the Uso splash on him and pinning him, and that's it.
Okay.
End of the match. This match was fucking terrible. You agree?
I agree. It was not good. We were all checked out.
Then we had a six-woman tag team match. So this is damage control. You had the Kabuki Warriors, women's tag team champions, and Dakota Sky, which... Matt and our other buddy Lewis that was here really appreciated the outfit Dakota Sky was in. Full on Dominatrix.
Yeah, they do not try to hide it.
No.
They don't mind leaning into sex appeal.
Then you had an entrance, like a superhero entrance for each of the women on the other team. Jade Cargill, this is her first like actual match in WWE. She made a Royal Rumble appearance. Bianca Belair, yeah. And Naomi. I want to hear your thoughts on Jade.
I'm going to be really honest. I don't remember this match.
Okay.
At all. This is
a theme here with Matt.
This is like water through a sieve for me. It's not just the women's matches. There's a few that I am not. There's a few that went completely through Matt. I forgot about the Uso fight until you brought it up, and I only remember it because it was not very good.
The match was set up for one thing, and that's to get Jade Cargill over.
Okay.
That's to show that she is just an absolute beast. She hits the finisher on, I think, Dakota Kai, pins her to win the match. She, another woman who has got it all. She's just got to get a little better in between the ropes and promo skills, but the look, the aura, the presence is all there for her. So that's a superstar in the making, 100%. And okay. You could tell they're getting behind her in that regard. So.
Okay, good. I don't even remember this existed, but sorry.
Okay, so
I told Mike before we did this, I was like, I definitely want to talk about this because I enjoyed it tremendously, but you're going to have to lead this because a lot of it just went straight over my head.
Well, you'll remember this because we talked about it a lot. Sami Zayn versus Gunther.
Oh, yeah. This one was great.
So the build to this was like Sami Zayn's doubting himself.
Uh-huh.
Chad Gable's training him. It's a Rocky montage. Gunther has had the belt for 666 days. Intercontinental title. Well,
oh my. That's appropriate for Gunther.
Yeah.
Gunther is very entertaining. His thing is he gets slapped a lot, but because he's so white, he turns red really fast. Like, I've seen two Gunther fights. You showed me one, and I picked up on that immediately. I was like, well, you're just so white that when you get slapped, you turn red really fast. So, because I'm look the same. And so, like, that's your thing, right?
Well, he slaps a lot too.
Yeah, he does. So Gunther looks like he just rolled out of SS candidate school, Berlin, circa 1936. Perfect genetics. He would have been very popular back in the day. And he really leans into the, he even walks out with like what looks suspiciously like a German guard. Right?
Well.
Yeah, he does.
With his hands behind his back.
Yeah, I'm not calling him a Nazi. I'm saying he looks like a Nazi. There's a difference. But they're playing it up as in he's like, you know, the German Superman or whatever.
His stable is called Imperium.
Of course it is.
I'm not going to say it.
Nope, not going any further. I had something to say too, I'm not going to say it. It's mean.
Well.
Moving on.
Thank God Sami Zayn's a Muslim and not a Jew.
No kidding. God. Ugh. It's always going to be fun to hate on Nazis, so it's a fun angle that they play
before
up.
He comes out, Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. His little son and his wife are in the back. Hey, buddy, I'm going to do my best. Oh. I'm like, oh, my God, there's no way this man's losing.
Yeah, you can't have him go fight the German Hitler guy after that and have him lose. And he was losing most of the match.
And then before he gets back there, Kevin Owens, his best friend, is back there. Gives him a hug, goes, go fucking do it. So, yeah, he pretty much gets the living shit beat out of him almost this entire match. Mm-hmm. Gunther is just chopping the shit out of him, power bombing him, like you name it. And then Gunther like keeps toying with him, keeps hitting him with top rope splashes. He goes up for the third one, and Sami Zayn kind of hooks up. Gunther misses a splash. He hits him with a hell of a kick, pins him. New Intercontinental Champion. 666 days down the tube. What'd you think?
Oh, I was happy to see. I mean, I love to hate on the Nazis, so I was happy to see Gunther lose. But Gunther is such a fun. He's such a fun villain.
Yeah.
I like the match a lot. I struggle a little bit because again, I'm very new to this. I'm still learning. I struggle a little bit with the matches that are like so one sided, which this match was to a large extent, and then finally Zayn won. But I don't know. How to stage it differently? I don't know. When you have somebody just getting their ass kicked the whole time for them to come back, that's a little weird to me.
So, psychology for this match was they're trying to get as much heat as they can on Gunther.
Well, that's not hard. All you have to do is look at him.
But you're trying to build sympathy for Sami Zayn because he's getting the shit beat out of him. You just want to root for him to make the comeback.
Well, of course. And we all were. I mean, we were all cheering when he did make the comeback.
Right.
Especially when you start with his wife and kid.
Right.
And he's fighting, you know.
So that's by design. They're trying to make him more of a sympathetic babyface.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this match was really good. It doesn't hold a candle to Gunther's match, the one I showed you with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus last year.
I completely agree with that. That was the three-way fight. Yeah, that was.
And those guys just beat the shit out of each other.
A lot of slapping.
Yes. Big meaty men slapping meat.
Super heterosexual thing to 100%. To do. Yeah. I agree. Not as good of a match, but you know, it was fun. Fun to see a guy like that lose.
So this brings us to the main event of night one. The Rock or first Cody Rhodes comes out. Standard entrance, nothing special.
Okay, these introductions alone though, they go on for so long.
Seth Rollins comes out. What did you think of his entrance attire?
He looked like if a peacock became a sentient human being. very we all commented that it was reminding us of the Anthony Joshua thing where he came out in such an elaborate costume and then lost and he blamed the outfit. That was Anthony Joshua, right?
No, that was Deontay Wilder.
Oh, that was Wilder. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So then The Rock comes out next. And I want to hear your take, being a very novice fan here.
Okay. The Rock, by the way, was wearing what can only be described as Miami Vice casual.
100%. But this is what he used to wear back in the days.
Yeah.
When he was a bad guy.
Okay.
What did you think of like his presence compared to everybody else in this match?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not even close, right? He's such a star.
Yeah.
He walks out and it's all eyes on him. I think he makes, I'll be honest, I get as a novice, just watching for the first time, I completely understand the star power of The Rock, obviously. I completely understand the star power of Cody Rhodes. I don't get the star power of Roman Reigns. I struggle with that one. Okay. I don't really get what people are, the whole tribal chief thing. I don't find him to be all that entertaining. I mean, I haven't been around for the last 3 years. But that was the one that I didn't quite get.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good.
But Cody is all right. I mean, he looks like Homelander, but like a nice Homelander.
Yeah.
You completely understand why he's going to be the face of the WWE for a while.
Right. The Rock comes out and it's like this video game level thing. You're good through all the levels. Oh, perfect timing. He comes out to that heel song again, which I was so happy. Okay. And then it says final boss activated, and the fucking flame of a Brahma bowl comes around. And The Rock is in the middle of that thing, and it's just like, holy shit, dude. This guy is a fucking star.
The place is going absolutely nuts.
Yes. Because you can't help it. I mean, even though you're booing him in the match because you want to see the outcome, just him showing up, you're like, this is incredible.
It's a big deal to have him there, yeah.
Absolutely. So then Roman Reigns comes out last because he's the champ, mm-hmm. but it's like, we've already seen the real star here.
That's the problem, right? It's like, I'm glad they let Roman go last because he's the champ. That's appropriate, right?
Right.
But I wish they would have let The Rock go last just because you can't follow that. He's so big.
This match went 45 minutes. One of my favorite parts in this match is the ref is doing the count out because they have till 10 to get back in. The Rock goes, don't you, and the censors missed it. Don't you dare count. Or you're fired. You know The Rock doesn't fuck around.
You know The Rock doesn't fuck around. Beep.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you really...
Way after the fact.
You really missed that one.
They brawl in the crowd. Like, I was shocked. Like, they went all over the place, you know?
Oh, yeah. They were everywhere. There was one point, because it was a tag team match, so presumably they're not all supposed to be fighting at the same time. But at one point, they were in different parts of the stadium, one-on-one with each other.
Yeah.
And it was like split screen. It was really cool. I enjoyed that one.
Seth got his ass beat almost this entire match.
Yeah, Seth Rollins' thing appears to be, I get hurt a lot.
So the finish comes with Rock hits Cody in the back with the weight belt. Roman spears him, tags in the Rock. Rock does a people's elbow, or Rock Bottom and the people's elbow, and he pins Cody Rhodes, which I expected to happen.
Yeah, sure.
So he leaves, and it's like, oh my God, what's Cody going to do? This is a repeat of night, you know, of last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So that's how night one ends. Night one was okay.
I think it was okay. It was good. I enjoyed it, but night two beat the pants off of it.
Night two was fucking incredible.
Yeah.
So we get to night two. It starts out with Seth Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. This match was incredible.
This match is wild.
Incredible.
This match was also the start of something that happened a million times that night that I loved, which is when somebody goes over and clears off the announcer's table. They did it so many times.
Yes.
And it's always funny how it's always reset.
Drew McIntyre, when he took the phone from his wife, that was his wife in the front row.
Okay.
And he's typing on the phone.
Uh-huh.
He tweeted and said, bored at work, LOL. And then after he lost that match, he tweeted, fuck. So Drew hit Seth with a few claymores. Seth hit him with a few curb stomps. Both their finishers kicked out. Finally, you know, Drew ends up hitting a final claymore and pins Seth. Gets his moment. He's celebrating with his wife.
Literally a moment. Enjoy that moment.
Yeah. So then Punk is over at the table doing commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Drew goes and sits cross-legged right in front of Punk. And it's like, you'll never get this, you know. Punk's like, why are you talking to me? It's your moment. I laughed because Punk goes, I want you to know that I can't hear a word you're saying because I've got cans on.
Yeah, that was funny.
He's like, why are you talking to me? You know, this is your moment. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Drew gets up and gives him the suck it and turns around. Punk sweeps his legs, takes off his arm brace, hits him in the head with it, starts stomping him. Here comes Damian Priest with the Money in the Bank briefcase.
The CM Punk thing was the one thing that I accurately predicted about the weekend.
Yes.
Because I was like, this is a work. I know it is. I'm sure he's really hurt legitimately.
But not as, because he even hinted at Ariel Helwani's show, like, I'd wrestle right now, but I got to listen to the doctors.
Yeah. Like, so ripping the brace off, it was all very, like, I don't know. Saw that coming a mile away, but it was cool.
Priest cashes in, hits him with the South of Heaven choke slam, pins him, new world heavyweight champion.
Okay. Here's my question for you. What is the psychology behind doing that to somebody? Why give somebody the title only to take it away from them like a minute later? Like, when you're writing the storyline, why?
The gimmick of the Money in the Bank briefcase is you never know when it can be cashed in.
So that's the idea, is you got to keep it. You basically need to keep people always guessing for when they're going to do it.
Correct.
Okay.
Though Damian Priest won that briefcase in July. Mm-hmm. He's been carrying around this entire time. So some guys will be like, I'm cashing this in next Monday, me and you one-on-one. That's probably what a babyface would do.
And you can call for any fight, or is it?
Anytime.
So any fight, anytime.
Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 35, I want to say. It was in San Francisco.
Okay.
The main event was Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. In the middle of that match, before the match was over, Seth Rollins came in and cashed in. He curb stomped Brock, threw him out of the ring, curb stomped Roman, won the match.
Wow. Okay.
Walked out with the belt. That's how WrestleMania 35 ended.
So the idea being just that you just don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And usually heels will cash in for things like this.
Okay.
The guy's already been through a match. He's been beat up.
You come out at the last minute and they're exhausted and yes. You take advantage. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So that's Damian Priest is the new world heavyweight champion. That's how we start night two.
This was probably the main event was great, but this was probably my favorite match of the night.
I don't disagree with that.
I just thought it was really exciting.
The next match was the Philadelphia Street Fight, the Pride, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits taking on, I don't even know what this stable's called. I can't remember because I don't give a fuck. They're very, very boring.
Okay.
It's Karrion Kross, the AOP, they're called, which I don't even know what that stands for. I don't even remember. But they're out there. They have Bubba Ray Dudley is the special referee, who's ECW legend. They're in Philadelphia. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. And Snoop Dogg is the commentator of this match.
And I'll be honest, that's the only thing I remember about this fight is Snoop Dogg's commentary.
Snoop Dogg was fantastic. Oh my God.
Has he done commentary before?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of figured. He seemed very at home.
Standard hardcore match. The most memorable thing from this match is they put Karrion Kross on a table to do a splash or whatever, and it broke as they put him on the table.
Oh, jeez.
So, in the midst of that, one of the Street Profits, Montez Ford, just starts unloading on Karrion Kross with the kendo stick. Hits him in 7,058 times.
Yeah, this was the kendo stick match. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's coming back.
Plunder. Bubba Ray Dudley gets pushed by Karrion Kross. He puts out the glasses. They do the Les up spot where he headbutts him in the balls. All that bullshit. It's a fun little match. Whatever.
It was fine.
Kind of a, you know, I guess a come down match of sorts because of what just happened in the beginning.
Yeah, hard to top the first match of the night.
Yeah. Next match, AJ Styles and LA Knight.
This was good.
AJ comes out with a new theme song. He's a bad guy now, so that's required.
Okay.
He runs right to the ring, and they start brawling. I thought this match was fucking great.
I thought it was, too, and I liked the introduction. I liked that he... Sometimes the... again, I'm just pointing out things that I have a hard time kind of getting into, and sometimes elongated staring contests and really long walkouts, to me, can kind of drag out the action a little too much, or... When you're pissed off at somebody, them just running out and just getting to it, I like that a lot.
AJ, they built this match pretty good. Like the LA Knight attacked him at his own house.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
AJ Styles flew to Saudi Arabia and cost LA Knight the Elimination Chamber match. They've been feuding for a while. Royal Rumble was a triple threat match. Roman was defending the belt. I'm sorry, fatal four-way. He defended against Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight. LA Knight has gotten a lot of momentum this year. He's a big star now.
Okay.
But AJ is one of the best workers on the planet, and he has had duds with great workers like Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania. He had one with Randy Orton I could barely remember. I think he had the best chemistry of all of those guys with LA Knight.
It really, yeah. The chemistry was good.
A lot of people shit on LA Knight's work in the ring. He's great on the mic. But fuck, I thought he was great in this. I thought both these guys were really good.
Was LA Knight the one that was really hitting the chicken and broccoli and rice hard?
You know it, brother.
Okay, that's... Yeah. All right.
He's starting to get a little bit of an HGH belly, too.
I like this match. I enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah, and I've always been a fan of LA Knight, and I'm glad he's kind of getting his roses now. I hope he's the one that takes the belt off of Logan Paul, which brings us to our next match, and appropriate Logan Paul's theme playing right here.
I am embarrassed to admit how much I enjoyed watching Logan Paul wrestle.
Logan Paul defends the U.S. title against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. He comes out with this huge monster truck and this like laser gun on the back.
Sponsored by Prime.
Yeah.
A lot of Prime. We haven't mentioned Prime yet.
And then the Prime mascot comes out again. Last year it was KSI. KSI got put through a table by Seth Rollins. This year it was like... But the boys told me. They knew who this guy is.
I didn't know who it was.
Like, something speed... I don't know.
I don't know who that is.
Can you Google that?
Sure.
Streamer at WrestleMania 40.
Streamer.
YouTuber.
Speed streamer.
It's something speed. Anyhow.
I show speed?
I show speed.
What the hell? I am so old.
This match was really good. Logan Paul is, I mean, fuck, he's great.
He was awesome. You know, he reminded me, I've come to learn that I like wrestlers who aren't as big, and I enjoy the more athletic lean. I mean, Logan Paul's a big guy, but he's not 280 pounds or anything like that. And he's very nimble and he's very athletic. And I really enjoyed watching him. I can understand why people are getting behind him. I'm a Paul Brothers hater. I was too old to know who they were when they were on like Disney and doing their YouTube stuff like that. So I didn't follow them there. And then when they broke into the boxing world, I was just rolling my eyes the whole time because I was like, what are these?
Were they on Disney?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They were one. I think Jake was on the Disney show. I don't know about Logan. And then they got into Vine and YouTube.
Okay. That's where I knew them from.
Yeah. And I didn't even really know who they were. But I knew of them. And then they break into the boxing world, and I'm rolling my eyes the whole time. And to this day, I've still only ever watched one Jake Paul boxing match. But I got to admit, they win you over a little bit. They put the work in. They're athletic. They are talented. They work hard. They're very easy to hate, but I don't know.
Logan Paul has no business being this good this early. He really doesn't.
He's pretty great.
Yeah. He retains the belt, which I thought was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But this I show speed guy ends up getting his ass beat. Randy Orton fucking laid into him. I don't know if you saw that, dude.
I did.
He kicked him in the face, and this kid went flying like 15 feet back. Rips that shit off of him and RKOs him on top of the table.
Yeah, he got his ass kicked.
He did.
I just thought it was Prime mascot guy. I didn't know it was an actual... like celebrity.
It's another guy too. The sensors were hitting the button. He's like, do something, motherfucker, to Randy Orton over and over again.
Beep.
Yeah.
Yeah, late every time. It's on Peacock, so like they don't have to censor it.
No, that's a WWE's decision.
Oh, okay.
I think they're gonna get a little more away from that.
Good, they should.
Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. It's a sport where people are punching and kicking and throwing each other, and
especially when they go to Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
I think we might see a change there, but I don't know. They're trying to keep sponsors, too.
Yeah, I get it. Is it like, is it going to be an exclusive Netflix deal? Yes. Like, they'll just be there?
Well, okay, no. So, no. Netflix, for right now, Netflix is going to just show Raw.
Okay.
SmackDown is moving to USA.
Okay.
And then Peacock is still showing live events, but I'll bet you anything once that deal's up.
Oh, yeah.
The pay-per-views are going to go to Netflix.
They will for sure look for ways to
get the winner. I cord-cutted. I don't know about you.
I have cable, but I almost never... I don't watch cable. I have it.
So I'm happy this is going to Netflix. I watched Raw last night through alternative means.
Oh, really? You don't say.
But yeah, I'm happy about that. I would rather have it be streaming.
For sure. On this move, I'm probably cord-cutting entirely. The only reason I kept cable for as long as I did was sports.
Yeah.
It's been really hard to figure out sports with streaming for a long time. And you know, I'm big Lakers fan. I love football. I watch basically every NFL game every year.
I'll send you what I use after this.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
It's worked for like 3 years.
Okay.
Rich turned me on to it and I was like, there's no way, but it's been great.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, but now it's even with streaming, it's easier to get sports channels on streaming.
That's true.
So with this move, I'm probably just going to cut the cord, 'cause I already have every frickin' streaming platform known to man.
Well, even like the NFL ticket is on YouTube now, right?
Well, yeah. So what I do is you can get it on YouTube, you can get it on Sling. And then finally this year, the NFL just released their NFL Plus app where you can watch Red Zone, which is what I like to watch, streaming. And it's like $20 a month or something. It was cheap. So there's so many ways to get it now. You don't need cable. Like, I'm sorry, you don't need cable anymore.
No.
No.
Co-main here. Io Sky defending the women's championship against Bailey. Matt watched this match intently because he is for women's rights.
I am for women's rights, and I did not watch this match because it was like 12:30 at night by the time I got to this, and I was just trying to go to bed.
Bailey comes out with like an Egyptian entrance.
Oh.
I don't know the backstory behind that. I don't know if she has an Egyptian heritage. They carry her out like on a throne.
Okay.
And then Io Sky comes out, one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. The match was very good. This has been building for a long time. Bailey put this group together, Damage Control, 2 SummerSlams ago? I think so.
Okay.
Anyhow, they end up turning on Bailey and kicking her out of the group after she won the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
So she chose to face Io Sky, who won the belt. She cashed in Money in the Bank a long time ago and has had the belt this whole time.
Is there a women's Money in the Bank and a men's Money in the Bank?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a women's everything now. Women's Royal Rumble, women's Money in the Bank.
Wow, I didn't know WWE went woke.
Woke as can be. They're doing King of the Ring, and now it's King and Queen of the Ring.
Love it.
Right. So
very, very equal.
Yes. But that's what I was... And we'll talk about that when we wrap this up, but... Bailey wins the match. She gets her moment at WrestleMania, which she hasn't gotten to this point. She's been with the company for a long time, so I was happy to see that. But when that happened, I was like, fuck. Are they going to pull shenanigans here in this main event? Because usually it's not like back-to-back feel-good moments and title changes. Okay. And shit.
So you were worried for a minute.
Right.
There's no way they could have not given Cody the belt after all of this.
So then Cody has this epic fucking entrance.
Yes.
They show kind of the climb he's had to make. He's got these American flags in the background. He comes out to that great theme. And I'm like, I'm fucking welling up and I'm pumped up. Like, fuck, dude. Like,
so was I. I was genuinely, I mean, it was almost 1 o'clock in the morning by the time I got to this match. And I was so into it at this point. I thought the rest of the card was really great. I'm completely sucked in. And this is, you brought it up, but this... When pro wrestling is good, I guess this is what it feels like. Because, yeah. Yes, I know it's fake. I know it's, you know, predetermined.
Yeah.
But you're still having such a good time with it.
You're so invested in the story, you forget.
And yes, and the theatrics of it. And the moves and everything still are genuinely impressive. So if nothing else, you're watching real athleticism. And it's an art in its own way. And you're invested in the story. And that's what gets you into it. That's what got me into it, finally.
Yeah. Roman comes out with, like, a choir... singing him to the ring with his song.
Mm-hmm. Paul Heyman, of course, is there.
And then when they have a face-off, though, it's just a huge fight feel. It really is. And Roman's talking shit this entire match.
Yep.
He's telling Cody, this is my company, you little bitch. I'm going to send you back to Hollywood like the rest of them. And then he hits Cody with his own move, the crossroads. Cody kicks out, and Roman goes, I knew it. That move sucks. Ain't nobody getting beat with that move.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that I don't know. So I'm just watching. I'm just along for the ride at this point.
Yeah.
The most surprising part of this match to me was that The Rock stayed out of the ring as long as he did.
Yeah.
But he was probably pretty sore from the night before, in fairness.
This kind of went exactly how I expected it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So Cody starts to hit crossroads on Roman. First guy that comes in is Jimmy Uso. Then Jey Uso comes out. They meet in the middle of the entranceway and... Why couldn't this have happened in their match?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Jey spears Jimmy off the fucking ramp, and they do about a 20-foot drop through 2 tables.
Yeah, that was a crazy way to come out.
So then Solo Sikoa comes out. He interferes. They run the same spot back from last year.
Is this all Bloodline people?
All Bloodline.
Okay, okay.
Cody kicks out. Here comes John Cena. Last time we saw John Cena,
he had hair. Was
pretty much killed by Solo Sikoa.
Okay.
He puts him through a table. He hits the fucking attitude adjustment on Roman. Then The Rock comes out.
I have to, before we get to The Rock, I have to point out, love John Cena, big Peacemaker fan. John Cena is balding, and he's clearly very, very self-conscious about it. Yeah. It's time to shave the head. Because, first of all, it's fine to be balding. There's nothing wrong with that. But he touched his hair. I noticed it immediately. He touched his hair 100 times while he was out there.
Yeah.
And he was only out there for like a minute.
True.
That's all.
Seth Rollins, the Shield music hits. Seth and Roman were in this stable called the Shield when they first started.
Okay.
Inseparable. And what happened was Seth turned on Roman, hit him in the back with a chair, and turned heel. Okay.
Oh, okay. I saw people
posting. That was 10 years ago.
I saw people posting pictures of this. They say, like, because Roman's chair hit later on was, they said, like, 10 years in the making.
Yes.
That makes sense. I didn't understand the context for that.
So after Roman hits Seth, Rock starts to take his weight belt off. The lights go out and the gong from The Undertaker sounds. We were hoping for the Glass of Shatter, Steve Austin, to come out. I heard he was sick.
Okay.
So this may have been called on the fly.
He had too many 316s the night before, he wasn't feeling super, super good.
Rock turns around, though. The lights come back on, and Undertaker's standing behind him, which was still fucking awesome.
It was great. It was great. I said Undertaker pulled a Bill Murray. He was like, yeah, I'll show up and do your event, but I'm not going to put the outfit on. I'm just going to wear my clothes.
Well, it's funny, too, because people have footage of when the lights go back out
after
he chokeslams a Rock, and Undertaker's running. Did you see that?
I did, yes. Okay. It's great. It's great. Okay. It was cool to see the side footage, like how they get people on and off, and
yeah,
where they, you know, drop the lights, they got Undertaker on, and it's cool. It's neat.
So everybody's cleared out now. It's one-on-one.
Oh, I did want to point that out. I did really like how they was craziness out there, and then the Undertaker shows up, choke slams the Rock, the lights go out, and when the lights come back on, everybody's gone. As in, like, Undertaker cleared.
So Roman has a chair now. Looks at Cody. Seth is kind of getting up.
Mm-hmm.
Looks at Seth. Seth is like the same way Roman was when he got hit with the chair 10 years ago. Roman's like, fuck this guy. He still hasn't gotten over that. Hits Seth with the chair. He goes for the spear on Cody. Cody kicks him in the face. Three crossroads. 1, 2, 3. Cody wins the belt. Finally.
Yay!
Ending the 3.5-year reign of Roman Reigns. Samantha Irvin, the announcer, like, her voice is cracking when she's announcing this. Michael Cole is weeping on commentary.
Yeah, is this all kayfabe, or do people just genuinely like Cody?
I think they genuinely liked Cody.
But they're playing it up, too.
But they're happy for, like, a multitude of reasons,
uh-huh.
Right? Because Vince McMahon just kept booking Roman to win over and over and over again. This is, like, truly the stamp on this new era. You know?
Okay, so moving on from Roman is more symbolic than just him losing the belt.
It's Cody finally achieving this, because, yes, it's predetermined, but they're saying, you're the guy now.
Yeah, right.
You're
right,
carrying the company. You're the face of the company. He said after he lost WrestleMania 39, John Cena told him, be the champion without the belt. Act like the champion, you know, whatever you got to do. Now he has the belt. Now he's a champion. He is the clear-cut face of this company now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Michael Cole is a really good friend of Cody's, too. They're really close. So, like, just to see him achieve this in front of 72,000 people, you know?
Yeah.
And to main event WrestleMania, to come back from all that shit, and basically he was a job guy, a Stardust, you know?
Mm.
To come back here, and now you're the fucking man. You're not only winning the title at a WrestleMania, but you're ending something that was going on for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
In kayfabe, you're beating this guy who was unstoppable. He had beaten everybody, right? So it kind of blurs those lines. But, I mean, what was your emotion from this? What was your thoughts on seeing this?
Oh, yeah. I at this point, I'm completely into it. So I was emotional seeing it. I didn't know the backstory. I didn't know the Seth Rollins chair thing from a decade ago, obviously. I just thought it was a good move to give Cody the opportunity to win.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I'm cheering right along with everybody else by the end of it. You're just so happy to see him win. And the reactions, like, yeah, obviously it's kayfabe, but the reactions from everybody around him were so happy. He's such a face. And the crowd was going crazy. And that earworm of a song was playing just on loop. Yeah, you're completely into it. You're thrilled to see this guy win. I think we all figured he was going to. I don't think you could put the belt back on Roman after 3 years and almost, you know, losing it last year at WrestleMania and all the setup with especially between Cody and The Rock. You can't really take that away from him again. But to see it was genuinely emotional and just great.
And then all the faces come out. You got CM Punk, LA Knight, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton. They're putting him on his shoulders, carrying him around the ring. It was a triumphant hero.
Again, you said, like, when it's at its best, even though you know it's predetermined, you're so invested in it, you don't care. And that's where I think everybody was at with him then.
This reminded me of WCW 1996 or 7. I can't remember which year.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Well, let me explain. Not so much when Sting won the belt, because they had been building, like I was telling you, this year-long story of somebody slaying Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. In the midst of all that, though, Lex Luger won the belt. And everybody came out and was, like, hoisting him on his shoulders. And, like, he had slain this beast who was, like, cheating to win. Mm-hmm. He led the NWO. This is what the bloodline was for years.
Okay. Lex Luger and Gunther could definitely have made a hell of a team.
But they had run rampant on WWE for years, and they kind of ended all that last night. I don't know how they're going to follow this up on SmackDown. Bloodline didn't show up on Raw. I watched Raw last night, and other than the segment with The Rock and Cody where they built they're going to have a match down the road.
Sure.
I didn't give a shit, really, until the main event. So...
It has to be so hard to follow up an event like that, though, and then just go back to Monday Night Raw. I'm impressed they did. I was shocked. When you told me there was going to be an event on Monday, I was like, really? They don't take a week off?
No.
But that's the business. That's just what you do.
It is.
It's back to work.
So my thought was what I was telling Matt, like, going forward with this new Triple H era, they've already got a tournament coming up. You can fill matches on regular TV with that. Make the brackets bigger. And that kind of fills in those matches. But
now, when you say tournament, is this like a longer-term thing they'll do to see who gets the next shots?
I hope so. I hope it's not just a gimmick of you walk around with a crown now and you're dubbed King so-and-so.
Sure, okay.
That's what they've been doing under Vince McMahon.
Uh-huh.
I hope that's not how they treat this.
Okay.
This needs to be for a title shot, in my opinion. Whether that's for the World Heavyweight title or whatever the fuck, same on the women's side. So I think they should do more things like that to try to build importance for these matches, and they're not just throwaway matches nobody gives a shit about. But in the midst of that, I think these shows should be more angle-heavy. They should be building more towards your pay-per-view matches, you know?
Yeah, seems to make sense. I mean, that's what attracted me to this whole thing, was there was this really interesting story being built up to, and then you watch your big WrestleMania, and that's the payoff.
Yeah.
And if you're going to bring in casual people like me, that's probably a good way to do it.
Yeah.
You think, I mean, I don't really know how this works. In the UFC, somebody like Roman Reigns would get an instant rematch. Does Roman Reigns get a rematch with Cody Rhodes at some point, or is that just over?
I don't know what they're going to do here. I just saw Roman put on Instagram, it showed him in the gym.
Yeah,
he said, yesterday we mourn, today's day one.
Yeah, day one of the comeback, I assume.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know if the bloodline will turn on him.
Mm.
I'm not sure, but man, what a fucking weekend.
What a weekend. I loved it. It was great. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I think we decided we're going to do these occasionally for big events.
Yeah.
And so that'll only be, you know, a couple, two, three times a year probably. But
so the big events are WrestleMania, SummerSlam, mm-hmm. Survivor Series, and the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
So most likely those are the ones we'll do.
So we'll say four a year we'll do this. Year. Just for fun. Yeah. It's enjoyable.
Because Survivor Series has been War Games lately, which is a really fun match. Two rings, one steel cage over both rings.
Oh, wow.
And a team of four guys each, usually four or five guys.
Wow.
So.
What a run. We've had, we've talked about Bryan Singer. We've talked about Brett Ratner. We've talked about Vince McMahon. My gosh, who should we cover next week? Roman Polanski?
Coming next week, Bill Cosby.
Let's talk about nice people next episode.
No shit. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Matt might be in town for another one of these or not, but we'll have a show out.
I might end up just not disappearing ever. I think that we've built this up that I'm going to be gone for a while, and it's going to end up being like 1 week or something.
Well, we can only close this podcast on one song, so that's it for now. We'll see you guys next week.
Kayfabe. About to blow.